Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And we're just going to read the first 10 verses. Luke chapter 19. We're going to read the first 10 verses. Familiar story of Zacchaeus. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was. But being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Now, I believe in the last year we've touched on Zacchaeus once by me and once by another preacher. Seems to be popping up. It's not specifically, well, it is in about Zacchaeus, but in a different way that I want to talk about this morning. It's the last verse. "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." And as we've been looking at some of the scriptures, there's a number of statements that Jesus makes about what he came to do. And it's those statements that I want to be looking at. And the first one today is that one, Luke chapter 19, verse 10. "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." But you can't really talk about one verse without the context, which is Zacchaeus. So that's why he pops up again. Now, in the United Kingdom, there is an increasing issue with lostness. I'll call it lostness. 1 in 6 adults suffer from depression. 1 in 4 with mental illness. 1 in 11 adults between the ages of 16 to 59, according to our statistics for England and Wales, between the age of 16 to 59, 1 in 11 adults struggle with all these issues. 1 in 5 adults between the ages of 16 to 24 struggle with addiction. And that means drug addiction of some description. And 1 in 11 adults. And then 1 in 10,000 commit suicide. This is England and Wales. This was 2021-22. So I began to look into that because there's a big issue about wellness, is there not? Wellness and well-being. It's just mushroomed, as Daniel was pointing out last week in his powerful sermon. So we do cross over a little bit, but this was what was on the heart, so maybe there's some leftover residue to do this morning. Amen? Lostness. In an article by a lady called Sanjana Gupta and an MD, Daniel B. Block, talking about wellness, she writes this: "If you're feeling lost, you may feel disconnected from everyone around you and everything. You may wonder what is the point of life and what you should do next. It can feel like your life has no purpose, direction, or movement, and this feeling can be confusing and frustrating, and you may wonder what to do with it. If you're feeling this way, don't worry. Everyone feels lost from time to time. It's a natural emotional process that signals a need for change or an opportunity for growth. She quotes Angelina Francis and takes some facts from her article. Reasons why you may feel lost. Life changes. Major life changes happen, such as moving, starting a new job. It can help make you feel that you're lost. You know, you might not know your way around this new circumstance. Loss of a loved one, the death of a loved one, or the loss of an important relationship in your life can almost leave you feeling shock, sad, or angry, and lost. Setbacks. Experiencing a major setback in your life, such as losing your job or losing a business or being diagnosed with a bad health condition, can cause you to grieve and feel lost. Lack of a support system. Having close friends or family members in your life can help you feel grounded. And with a support system around you, it helps. It's easy to feel lonely otherwise, isolated and lost if those things aren't there. Disruption to your routine can cause you to feel a bit lost. I love routine. I love routine. And when I'm chucked out of routine, I get withdrawal symptoms sometimes. A fixed routine helps promote stability. It gives you a sense of calm, comfort, confidence. Disruptions to your routine can leave you lost and struggling to find your footing. Can I hear an amen to that? Any parents here this morning? Can you remember when you weren't a parent? And then you were a parent. Lots of disruption and routine is thrown out the window and new routines have to be established and everything changes. And for some people, actually, that's a real struggle. And they can feel lost and incapable. She goes on, important decisions can cause you to feel lost. If you have an important or life-changing decision ahead of you, you can feel overwhelmed by your thoughts, your emotions, unsure of what to do. And it can happen for anyone, amen? Not just for adults with lots of responsibilities, but that time when young people are hitting the 15, 16, 17, 18 age bracket and they've got choices to make, choices about the future, choices about studies, choices about which direction to go, choices, choices, choices. And it can, at times, be overwhelming. And we know that there's a high increase in youth in terms of well-being and mental illness. Society pressures, she says, can cause you to have a sense of lostness. People's expectations can put pressure on you, which can cause you to experience a disconnect between what you want to do and what you think you're expected to do. And that can be a challenging situation where people, if they're in something that their heart's not in, they feel lost, trapped. Suppressed emotions. Experiencing your feelings, whether positive or negative, helps keep you in the present. However, suppressing your feelings and refusing to acknowledge them can cause you to feel lost and disconnected from yourself. There's different kinds of people in this room. Yeah, there's some of us who, when issues arise, just love to pour out. And then there's some who keep it in so nobody else knows and suppress those feelings, which eventually will come out in some way, shape, or form, will they not? And usually negatively. So those are some of the things she says. And she says that some of the outward expressions of that lostness can come in various ways. Crying without knowing why you're crying. Experiencing mood swings. Withdrawing from loved ones. feeling uninterested in the things that used to interest you and make you happy. Being unable to make decisions. This is hard stuff, isn't it? I'm sure there could be a lot of amens going on here. Certainly is from me. Feeling overwhelmed by simple tasks or choices. Engaging in erratic, impulsive, or risky behavior. Getting irritated at others around you. Feeling frustrated with yourself. And not feeling excited about the future. Feelings like you're merely going through the motions. Easily giving in to others, to the influence of others. And not knowing whether you're doing something because you want to do it or because you think you should. Those, in her experience, are some of the outward expressions of lostness that can happen. And when you look at that summary, you know, there's a whole heap of those things you can say, yeah, that's me, yep, yeah, that's me, that's me. We all have, to one degree or another, and it's where those degrees increase and become an issue. Of course, there's one aspect that's missing. She does give some advice. And the aspect that's missing is, of course, the Christian viewpoint, what the Bible has to say. They go on to make some recommendations of how to deal with that sense of lostness. You know, reflect on your needs. Look for growth opportunities. But of course, if you're not in that place where you can take action, you need the help of others. Concentrate on your priorities. Take care of yourself. Maybe keep a journal. Start writing things down. Affirm yourself out loud. Look in the mirror. I am a nice person. I am a good person. I'm doing well. I'm doing all right. Today's a great day. I'm going to be good. All those kind of exercises. Reach out to loved ones. Distance yourself from unhealthy relationships that pull you down. Build a support system, if you haven't got one already, of other people. Maintain a healthy routine. Seek support. So, now, all that is actually, there's a lot of good advice in there. But I say the one aspect that's missing is, well, what does God have to say? Because a lot of those principles, some of those principles actually, you know, are in line with Christian principles. Because when it comes to lostness, the big glaring thing that is missing is the lost soul. The lost soul. And that is what we're talking about today. And that is what Jesus came to address. Because it goes deeper than just the stuff of life and the living of life now. It goes much deeper and addresses the deep inner you, the real you, and your eternal destiny. And that aspect is missing, of course, from those summaries that have been given. You can have great successes, and it is good if you're in need to get help and not be afraid to approach the NHS, not be afraid to approach counselors, not be afraid to get help and stuff. I'm not saying that at all. That's good. But at the end of the day, the big mistake that the majority of people make is leaving God out. Is leaving God out. Because you can have great successes, and folks who are not Christians seem to be very successful and go to self-help and seem to have helped. So let's not say that none of that is of use. Of course it is. And some of us have used that, and that's right to do so. But people can go through that and still find that they are lost. Because they are lost spiritually. And that hole cannot be filled by all the self-help and all the input of experts in a life. It can only be filled by God. And that is the deepest root lostness So whatever other lostness comes on top of that, and how successful we are at dealing with the stuff on top, if that bottom bit isn't dealt with, then we will still be lost. And we will still experience the pangs of that spiritual lostness. But here's some good news. Good news, because that is what the gospel means. Good news. Amen? The world puts it as well-being. Proverbs 4:23 says this, above all else, guard your heart. It is the wellspring of life. That's how the Bible puts it. There is a wellness, but it comes from the Lord. And it comes from that heart relationship with the living God. So, let's look at Zacchaeus, because Zacchaeus was a lost soul. He was a lost soul. He was lost in his life, but his life was transformed. That's the good news, amen? And his life was transformed by meeting Jesus. Although he was despised by people, in the eyes of God, he was a needy, precious, lost soul who needed saving. Now, outwardly, he was very successful. He was earning a lucrative living, being a tax collector. Inwardly, however, there was turmoil in his life. So outwardly, everything's fine. He's got the big house. He's got the camel. I was going to say he's got the car, but he's got the camel. He's got the whatever they had. He's got everything. But yet, inside, there was a turmoil. And you could see that in the story, that he, when help was coming by, he ran for it. He ran for it. Inwardly, this struggle may be, was made up of these kind of things. So his name, Zacchaeus, means righteous one. But to his own people, they did not view him as someone who was doing right. In their eyes, being Jewish, him being a Jew, he was actually doing the work of the enemy, because he was collecting taxes on behalf of Rome, their occupiers, their military occupiers, their conquerors. And he, a Jew, was collecting taxes from his own people and giving it to the Romans. Then part of the job was he was allowed to add an amount to the tax charge, whoever he was charging it to, for himself. And that's where the tax collectors started to make a mint, because there was no strict limitation as to how much charge you could put on top. And the unscrupulous ones would bang it on and line their pockets. And Zacchaeus was in that element. That's what he did. And for that, he was despised by other Jews. He was despised by his own people. Socially, therefore, he was an outcast. They viewed him as a sinner, because he was fleecing off his own people, which the law told them not to do specifically. Problem was, he was also despised by Gentiles, non-Jews, because he was wealthy, a wealthy Jew, and they despised him because of it. In short, he was lost. He was a lonely individual, outcast by both sides of the fence, and the only comfort he's had was the wealth that he was amassing, but it didn't satisfy. He didn't satisfy. Then Jesus came to town. Praise God. And Zacchaeus' life was changed forever. He found himself. Let's look at the process. Firstly, I'm using the outline of Warren Wiersbe. Firstly, the man became a child. The man became a child. In other words, his pride was dropped. He let it go. He let his pride fall. Because what happened was, he heard about Jesus coming. Jesus, a reputation had built up about him and gone before them now, of the man who was healing, delivering people, performing incredible miracles, and whose teaching people flocked to hear and wanted to see him. And he was now coming to his town. His town. And he wanted to see him because of this loneliness, of this lostness that was there in his life. He just had an inkling, maybe this could help, maybe this. And so he wanted to see Jesus. The problem was he was small. And so he belted towards Jesus and recognized that he couldn't get through. But if you're royalty, if you're someone in high position, you don't normally get this picture of, you probably won't see King Charles hitching up his skirt and running down the street. Helter-skelter, you just don't get that picture in your head of someone in authority just letting themselves go and running. And you certainly don't get a picture of him climbing a tree to get a better view. But yet he did that, which seemed to suggest he just lost all dignity. He lost his pride. He let it down because what he needed was more important than how it looked. More important than his pride. And he ran unceremoniously, climbed a tree so he could get a better view. Are you feeling that lostness this morning? Become like a child. Drop the pride. Because it's the pride that gets in the way. A child keeps it simple. I'm hurt. I'm upset. I need daddy. Or I need mummy. I remember when I got lost, somehow we got separated on the bus. We were getting off the bus, and I do have a propensity to drift into daydream, and I was probably daydreaming on the bus. I was probably about 5, 6, and the family got up, because there was 8 of us, the whole family got up and went off the bus, and somewhere along the line, I got left on the bus. I didn't realize until I was looking out the window and all the family were walking. I thought, what? And the bus went. And I was lost. I didn't know what to do. I got off the bus and I was stood there. And the bus conductor said, Sam, son, have you? I've lost my family. And he took me back on the bus and went down to the depot, and he said, it's probably best to stay here because that's where they'll probably look. And fortunately, they did. Fortunately, they did. And they collected me at the depot. First thing I did was I ran. As soon as I came around, belted down. You know, I didn't care about the bus conductor, didn't care about the other people who were there. Just I saw mummy and daddy and my brothers and sisters. And all pride and all that just disappeared. It wasn't as if I'd put on a fancy walk. Hey guys, you know, it's nice to see you. Thank you. As if nothing had happened. No, no, no. When you're a child, you let it go. And this morning, if there's that sense of lostness, friends, let the pride go. Come like a child. Become like a child. Because Father is there. We need to run to him. We need to run to him, and he will receive us. We had a cat, Frisky. And Frisky was black and white, and next to our house, our council house, at the back of it was an alley, and then there was the Rington's Tea Factory. And the Rington's Tea Factory used to have these old chests, chests with metal trimmings all around them, and actually leaves of tea. And they had mice and all that kind of stuff. And so we think Frisky went in the factory to get some mice. And all that we knew, she was missing for 6 weeks. And we didn't know what happened. So we were just surmising. And actually, we thought she'd gone. Until the day came when opened the door, and there was this disheveled cat, whiskers hanging down. Couldn't even say anything. It was sort of like, meow. I couldn't hardly get the meow out. But somehow, wherever she'd ended up, she found her way back home. And so we surmise that she maybe got trapped on a bus, on one of their vans, delivery vans, and it took her to whatever town or whatever place, and somehow she found her way back, but it took 6 weeks. And when we came to the door, she came in such a disheveled state, but we welcomed her home. And it doesn't matter what state you're in this morning. Run to Jesus. Be like a child. Let the pride go, anything that might hinder. And just come. Because that's what he wants. Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Don't hinder them. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It belongs to such as these. Luke 18:15. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of heaven like a little child will never enter it. So don't let pride hinder us from getting what God wants to give us and to deal with our lostness. And when you look at the New Testament, there was people who overcame their pride issue. The paralytic, who his mates took him on the bed, climbed up onto the roof where Jesus was, and the crowd was outside. They couldn't get through the main entrance, so they went up on the roof. They started to knock through the roof to lower him down. And they didn't care what anybody else thought. All they cared was, my friend needs Jesus. Let the pride go. Secondly, he became like a child. Secondly, he became a seeker. Now, Zacchaeus thought he was seeking God. He wanted to see Jesus. And so he went to find him. But the reality of the situation is God was seeking him. God was seeking him. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. You see, God takes the initiative, amen? He always has, and he always will. He takes the initiative. If he didn't reveal himself to us, we wouldn't know he was even there. He took the first step. And then he saw our need when man fell and sin became part of our nature and our natural actions. He took the initiative. He sorted things out. He made the way of salvation. He paid the price. He's always the one who takes the initiative. He sent his prophets to his chosen people through whom he wanted to reveal himself. And in the end, when everything else failed and no one was able to respond, he came. He died. He rose again. He bore our sins. He takes it away. He gives us a future. He's always the one who takes the initiative. And so although we feel that we're finding God, actually, he's been looking for us a long time. And we are just feeling the pangs of it, and we respond to those feelings. He became a seeker. The natural state of a sinner, someone who falls short of God's standard, that's what sin is. The natural state of a sinner is to hide from God because you don't want your sin revealed, or you don't want to face up to it. You hide from God. Adam and Eve, great relationship with God, met with him every day. The moment they disobeyed and sin became part of their life, they began to hide. And that relationship was destroyed. And we are still paying the price now. Praise God that God didn't just turn away himself, but he sorted the plan of salvation. Draw near to me, he says, I will draw near to you. That's the principle. There's a magnetism to Jesus that when he comes into the vicinity, we can feel the pull. And when we feel the pull of the gospel, we can either, run towards it, or we can either be repelled by our own pride and our own lifestyle that we wish to live, which we know God wouldn't be pleased with. That's what a magnet does, either draws you to itself or repels. But he became a seeker. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled. Seek God, friends, this morning. Run to him. Let the pride go. Become a seeker and say, Lord, whatever you have for me, I want it. I need it. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Put him first and let him help you with the rest of the stuff. Thirdly, he grew in stature. Now, it wasn't his fault. From birth, Zacchaeus was small in stature. He couldn't see above the crowd, and he had to climb a tree to overcome that stature. Spiritually, we are all small. Spiritually, we lack stature because of sin. Sin separates us from our Maker, our Creator. It separates us from God because all have sinned and come short of the glory of the Lord. Yeah? So we are all in that position. But many lost sinners think they are bigger than they actually are. When they begin to measure their life by the world's standards, I have money, I have popularity, I have status, I have a certain amount of authority. I have a lot of stuff. So by the world's standards, I'm a big man. I'm doing well. But when it comes to God's standards, we're miles off. Miles off. You say I'm rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Revelation 3, verse 17. To the church in Laodicea. Without Jesus, we have nothing of lasting value. Yes, we will see successful people who are godless and horrible characters, and they may live to a grand old age and die seemingly without retribution, without receiving their lot. But then comes eternity. And for God, there's no timeline. He knows eternity better than we do. And for us, we want to see everything right now. But we forget the value of, in fact, Lewis was reminding us yesterday at the men's breakfast, we had a great time, of the value of what we carry with the gospel, of our eternal future. Let's never leave out the eternal bit. It's not all about now. And in fact, what happens now prepares us for what is to come. It tests us. It prepares us so that that which is rubbish can be presented glorious to the Father and be fit to live in the presence forever of the living God. And for that to happen, the dross has to be taken away. And the only way that that can happen is through life's experience and learning to live loving Jesus and to put in him first. He grew in stature because when he met Jesus, he received the forgiveness of God. And he realized, this is what I've been lacking. My spiritual life has come alive. And he grew in stature, and it's that which caused him, to grow. Not about physical size, but about spiritual stature. And fourthly, he became rich. He became rich. People thought Zacchaeus was rich, but spiritually he was bankrupt. He was a sinner. He needed to receive the gift of eternal life. Blessed are the poor in spirit, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The first of the blessedness when it comes to the beatitude, because that's where it starts. The poor person knows they need help. The danger for the rich person is that they feel that they don't need help. They've got everything. But it's the poor person who realizes that they lack something and they are willing to kill pride and ask for help. Blessed, therefore, are the poor in spirit. It wasn't just about physical poorness that Jesus was teaching. It was about spiritually. You only can get the help you need spiritually when you recognize you are spiritually bankrupt. And you need help. You cannot save yourself. Only Jesus can save you. And that is hard for those of us who are good at making things happen and looking after ourselves and getting things as we want it to get it, to realize that actually there's nothing you can do. Jesus has done it. You've now got to submit to him. He wasn't saved. Zacchaeus wasn't saved by doing the good works, i.e. by starting to give his money away. It only happened when he met Jesus. He met Jesus, became spiritually, he grew spiritually, a man of stature, and because of that, he became rich spiritually. And his viewpoint changed totally. And he said, hey, I've done wrong. I've collected all this wealth. And he looks back at the law, their own Jewish law, back in the Levitical law, and if you've done wrong, if you've committed usury, if you've done things against others, to put it right, give them four times the amount back. And that's what he does. That's what he says there. I'll give back four times the amount. I'll give away half my wealth. I thought, way, praise God, a total transformation, a total change. Hey, are you glad when you see people's lives utterly transformed, changed, so that their behavior has gone? The old things have gone. Everything's become new. He became rich. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. And Philippians 4:19, my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Jesus Christ. Revelations 2:9, I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. You are rich. Shall we pray? We've touched upon stuff of pride this morning a lot when it comes to overcoming that sense of lostness. And so I can't really let this go without some outward sign of action, because I know sometimes it's hard to do. But it might be that for you, you're saying, yeah, there's some stuff in there that's resonated in my spirit. And this morning, I just want to say to Jesus, Lord, I am running to you. I need your help. Now, if that's you, all I want you to do is to stand. You don't have to come to the front. I just want you to stand right where you are. And you're saying this morning, yes. And I do that because of what we've read. Be like a child. Doesn't matter what other people think. Doesn't matter. It's not about that. We're all in the same boat here. In fact, I'm standing because I know some of those things resonated with me. And so if there's something there that you feel God's spoken about and you want to respond and say, Jesus, I'm running to you, I'm coming to you, build me in stature spiritually, I recognize the riches that I have in you, and that's what I want. I want to be rich in Jesus, not just in the things of this world. And I want to seek you, and I want to be your man, your woman. If that's you, just stand this morning right where you are. If there's been anything that's said that's touched you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, this morning, we want to thank you for your precious word. It is there to do us good. It is there to teach us, instruct us, and to change us, transform us. Thank you for the example of Zacchaeus, who was a lost soul. Things were not quite right with the way that his life was going. And then he met you, Lord, and became like a child and ran to you, and you made him rich. You saved him. You built him in stature. His life meant something. And his future was secured with eternal life, that great gift. Father, I thank you for your word and for each of us standing here this morning. We want to run to you, Lord God. Forgive us. Forgive us our pride. Forgive us our refusal to ask for help, to get help. Forgive us for not running to you. Forgive us for thinking we could still do it ourselves, when actually we need help, and that help is your help. Lord, this morning, we thank you for the good news that you still give the invitation, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. So for each standing this morning, Lord, fulfill your promise, fulfill your word, draw near, Lord God, fill with your spirit, Lord God, deal with that sense of lostness or that sense of whatever has caused folks to stand this morning. And Lord God, may each of us leave this place knowing that in Christ we are rich. We have all we need for life and for godliness. In that vein, we say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And as Zacchaeus brought you into his own home, and then you became master in his own home. You became his master. So we say, Lord, be master of our lives. Be master in our homes, in our lives. We'll follow you from now on. We ask all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Go in his power and his strength. Don't forget, there is refreshment.